tool that we use. All LMSs suck for some reason. I've used a lot of them. Canvas is probably the least loathsome of them, maybe for certain reasons. But they all have problems of their own. I have to use them, though, because I have to have a place where you can see your grades privately. Otherwise, we violate FERPA law. So Canvas is, I mean, that's one reason why you'll go to Canvas, which is one of the websites, to check your grades. But you also submit some things via Canvas. That's where you'll be checking your grades, though, as often as you want to check them. When you go to Canvas, if you haven't already, you'll see that it tells you on one part of the home page that you'll also be using this site. Well, it doesn't point directly to this. It points to the general Hoffman site on a different server that this is on, and then you can find this section, which is linked to in that. And this is the Hoffman site, as I call it, on Canvas, and as I'll refer to it as the Hoffman site if to distinguish it from the other two. You should definitely bookmark this, though, because even though you can always get to it through Canvas, it's kind of silly if your intent is to go directly to the Hoffman site to go through Canvas first. Why waste the time? But even more importantly, Canvas might be down for some reason. It's on a different server. That server might have problems. And if you didn't bookmark this, then you won't know how to get here, because this will still operate if Canvas is down and vice versa. All right, so this one you use often as well, because you'll access recordings that I'll be talking more about in a minute via the Hoffman site and other things as well that can help you on here. So that's the second site. And you'll also be required to use the McGraw-Hill Connect site, which you should sign up for today if you haven't already. It's no additional expenditure. You've already paid for access to it. So there's almost no more expenditure beyond what you've already paid in tuition and fees for this course, unless you want to count pencils and things like that. But you will have to buy some Scantron forms for the lecture exams. And the bookstore sells them in little packets of six, which is ideal for this course. So get a packet of six of those as soon as you can, just so that you don't forget, because we used to give them away. Australia used to give them, but now they want to save money and have you buy them instead, which is, you know, it's no big financial burden on you, but the thing is, people forget to do it, and they show up on test day, and since we no longer have them to give to you, I won't have any on the test day, and therefore you're going to have to perhaps embarrassingly try to bum one from a classmate if you forget one on test day, because I won't have any. So this first week, before you get really busy, which will happen soon in this course at least, go to the bookstore and get a pack of six green Scantron forms. They're the ones with 50 questions on one side. They'll know what you're talking about if you tell them the green ones. Anyway, you've already paid for access to this Connect site through McGraw-Hill, but you still need to register and do that through Canvas. Just follow the links on Canvas. Has anyone already gone through the process?
Because it's when you click the link for this class and then it like shows the textbook for this class, right? The McGraw-Hill.
There is an act. Yes, you get access to an e-textbook on the Connect site, which is, I'll talk more about this in a minute. That's, you can use that if you want. I'll tell you what the best use of that is. But the actual only requirement of using the Connect site is that's the only place you can get the Connect assignments that are graded. So I'm going to talk about the point breakdown in a minute. That's the major reason why you need to go. You need to be enrolled in the Connect course, because if you don't, you won't get any of those points and you won't pass the course. So, but you've already enrolled?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so it's a pretty smooth process. I'm asking because I can't This is a frustrating thing about instructor sites, is that we can't see exactly what students see. So we can't go through the process of enrolling so that I can know how to answer questions. Well, I'm trying to do this. Well, I can't replicate that as an instructor. So it's pretty smooth, though.
Yeah, because I also use McGraw-Hill for what you call the Spanish class.
Okay.
So then, like, I already, like, had it. So all I had to do was enroll into this one without, like, paying.
Okay, cool. Now, that should be the same even for someone who's never used McGraw-Hill. There might be one more step of, since you don't have an account yet, but it should be easy. And if you are wise, you should do that today as well. Get it out of the way. I'm not saying that you have to start the assignments yet. They have, you know, you can look at the due dates and figure out when you're going to do that. But get it out of the way just so that you know there's not going to be a problem. You don't want to find out there's a problem getting onto the system 2 hours before the assignment is due. Because, you just don't want to do that. Anyway, that's the third site. So there's Canvas, there's the Hoffman site, there is Connect. You do different things on each one, so you're going to have to use all three. You can get to the other two through Canvas, but like I said, you should directly bookmark this one to use it more easily. Before I leave this, let me give you a little bit of homework due tonight. Now, this is ungraded homework, but I'm telling you that you should do this sometime before midnight. Go to the first two websites, Canvas and the Hoffman site that you're seeing here, and make sure you click on each of the links in the vertical menu. There's a vertical menu on Canvas too. Make sure you visit each link at least once, just to see where things are and what things are there that are available to you. You're going to get very busy very quickly in this course, which I'll talk more about in a minute. But doing well in this course really all boils down to time management. And so you want to, while you still have a chance, comparative leisure, figure out where things are. You're not going to need everything right away, but if you know where things are, get it in your mind what things are there, what things are likely to help you personally based on your style of teaching, then you'll be ahead of the game. So do that for both of those sites sometime today. Connect, if you have time, do that as soon as you can just to get it out of the way, but you don't have to worry about Connect tonight. Let me, notice that one of those links on the Hoffman site is the syllabus, which I'm going to show you here. Now, you don't have to print out the syllabus. If there's anything that you want to print out on it, I would recommend maybe the last page simply because it's a schedule. But let's look at this, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I do expect and demand that you read the whole thing if you haven't already. Mostly, people on the first day care about what is going to affect their grade. My contact information is there in case you haven't noticed that already. So let me skip down to where we talk about grading. Talked about the course websites. Oh, the supporting materials, is that current? Because as you saw on the Hoffman site, we changed. Yeah, it doesn't mention that. The manual. We used to require a manual, but you don't have to buy anything other than the Scantrons. So, the rules consent form paragraph is in glaring red, so that hopefully you won't overlook it. You shouldn't overlook anything on the syllabus. But only a couple of you have done this so far, which is fine. We're just now meeting. But by tonight, everyone should have... If you obey me and click on all the links, one of which is for the rules consent form on the Hoffman site, by tonight everyone will have submitted this. If you don't submit it, then all your work is for naught because you'll get 0 points for anything until this thing is submitted. So read it carefully when you get to it on the Hoffman site, submit it, and you're done with that. The scoring part is mostly what I want to talk about because that's what people are curious about. The scoring section gives you the various graded assessments, the kinds of assignments you're going to get scores for. And notice, though, that I have a with attendance and without attendance column here. I grade you two different ways every time, every day, basically. Every day that something is due, you're going to get, you won't see it, it's behind the scenes. I calculate your total score up to that point in two different ways, with attendance and without attendance, and I give you the higher of the two. So what you see on Canvas, which will be your, it's called total current score, that's your current score up to this, up to that point. So that's one you want to keep an eye on. That is automatically the higher of the two scores, with and without attendance. Now, speaking of attendance, before I forget, let me say that this is an exceptional day because we're already past the beginning of the meeting time, and you're never, from now on, going to be allowed to sign the attendance sheet, which is what this is, after exactly 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock in 1 second, too late to sign it. All right, so that's one exception. The other is that this is the only time I'm going to pass it around. It'll be up here from now on each day that I come in. And starting next meeting, which is Thursday, I guess, you need to train yourself. It'll become automatic after a few visits, but especially Thursday, people are going to forget. Train yourself to come in and resist the temptation to sit down. Come straight up here, sign the attendance while you still are able to before 10 o'clock, and then sit down. Okay, but anyway, just pass this around, write your name legibly, and you'll get attendance points for today. Anyway, the reason that I do this with and without attendance is that attendance points for just simply being here, which you're expected to be anyway, that's your actual obligation, having signed up for this course. Anyway, attendance points don't tell me a damn thing about your biological knowledge. Doesn't tell me that you've learned anything, right? Simply means you're in this room. But I'm willing to give you points simply for being in this room, whether or not you do know biology, because I think it's valuable for you to witness the live performance. And I say that because I record all of my lectures, including right now, and the slideshows that accompany the audio are already available on the website. And so a student could make, for the lecture part only, not the lab, you have to be at the lab, but you could make the argument for the lecture section that, well, I can reproduce this experience at home since you record and since the slideshows are there, and I'm the type of student that can learn well just from listening to the lectures and watching the slideshows. If I can perform well on the test, why do I actually have to be here? Well, that actually is a valid argument, because that's probably fairly few students can do well that way, but some can, and why should I penalize them for not being here when attendance doesn't have anything to do with their knowledge anyway? So I don't want to, you know, I want to be fair one way or the other. That's why I calculate it both ways and give you the higher score. You don't have to worry about it. Ideally, you just show up every time and you get full attendance points. But if you don't end up showing up often enough for the attendance to help you, if this one's the higher score, that's fine. But notice that without the attendance points, everything else, every graded assignment other than attendance, is worth a little bit more than it would be with attendance, obviously, to make up for those extra points, right? That means without attendance, everything else affects your grade a little bit more, because it's a little bit more higher value. Okay, so anyway, you don't have to think about it. You're automatically going to get the higher of the two. The first one listed here, the first batch of points, is the important one, the really important one, the lecture examinations, of which there are five, you can see. All five, by the way, are entirely multiple choice in format. They're all exactly 50 questions. Each question is exactly four choices. So the answers are, I'll tell you right now, the answers are A, B, C, and D. You just have to figure out the right order of those. those five exams are the most valuable of any of the assignment types. Each one is 9%. So the exams by themselves make up almost half of your final grade, 45%. Obviously not something that you can blow off, right? Not even one of them. They will affect your grade the most, either positively or negatively. If you do really well on a lecture examination, you will see your total score go up more than it would be if you did well on any other type of assignment. But the same is true if you do poorly on it. And unfortunately, from the point of view of the student trying to do well in scoring-wise, the lecture exams are not only the most point-laden assignments, they're also the most difficult. So those scores are probably going to be the lowest of any of these categories for most people. I've taught this enough times that I know almost exactly what's going to happen as far as scores are concerned. I've kept track of the history, and there really isn't change semester to semester in performance. This first exam, which is the easiest of them, the first one, coming, it's not coming up immediately, but the first one that you'll take is, for most people, going to be the easiest one, and it will probably have a mean of about 65%. Now, if I were to give your final grade based only on lecture exams, almost no one would ever pass this course. I mean, I do have students who get 100% on a lecture exam, not very many, but it does happen. The mean, like I said, though, will be in the 50s, and probably mid-60s probably for the first one, and then it's going to go down for the next two. The third one will probably be the lowest one of the term for most people. And that's really where we mathematically find out who can make it through or not. Now, there's no good way to tell you what I'm about to tell you, because I'm sure that it's going to sound discouraging, but that's not how I mean it. I just don't want to lie to you. I want to tell you the truth right from day one, so that if you have the wisdom to believe me on this, since I've taught this so many times, you will not waste any time in getting right down to making a dedicated commitment to working in this course to get through. Because it is, I'll admit that it is a bitch of a course as far as workload is concerned. If you haven't already learned this lesson, this term will teach you that not all courses are created equally. There are easy courses, there are difficult courses. Not all A's are equal in terms of how much you have to do to earn those A's. So it happens all the time that people will come into this course saying, I've never gotten anything other than an A, and then they will struggle to get a C, which is what you need, right? A D is worthless in this course if you're a majors, if you're a biology major, which is what this course is for. So you definitely need to get a C or better. Hopefully you'll get that A, and I do give A's. I give the same amount of A's as I should or as any instructor does. But think about what an A is actually supposed to be. An A is the top 10% of a class, which means 2.4 of you should get an A. Most of you should get a C because that's what a C means, right? C is the average score that people get. Well, a C is, in a lot of courses, pretty easy to get. It's not necessarily going to be easy to get a C in here, is what I'm going to tell you. And there's a lot of reasons for this, but mostly it boils down to number of hours in a day. It's not that the topics in this course are really difficult to understand. It's just that there's a hell of a lot of material, and it's relentless. And it's not something that you can do just one day a week or intensively here and there. You have to actually put time in every day to expect to do well. So the unfortunate fact is that usually about half of people don't make it through the course. So it's a nice full classroom today, in the last week of the finals week, it'll be about half of this number of people probably. Now, I hope that's not true. I'm still hoping that it doesn't happen, but it's never come close to happening that everyone is still here at the end. As a matter of fact, the last face-to-face, summer was online, but the last face-to-face section I taught, which is in spring, had two people remaining by the time it was done. Now, part of that is because we started, because of the pandemic, with 12 to begin with, so it was already half. But still, you would expect six to remain if there's a 50% attrition from 12, and it ended up being two in one section. Thankfully, they both made it through. So, yes, it probably sounds like I'm trying to scare you, and I am trying to scare you into realizing reality. I don't want to ruin things for you. I just want you to make sure that you understand what you're in for. The fact that it's a difficult course in terms of time demands and workload does not mean it's not an enjoyable class. It should be very enjoyable to you because this is a major's course. You are, in one way or another, a biology major, probably almost everyone. I do have occasional people taking this as an elective. But most of you need this course, and it should be very interesting to you. If you don't find this material interesting, change your major. I mean, it's important to do something that makes you happy. If you hate biology, why are you a biology major? So, yes, it's going to be some work, but you'll learn a lot, hopefully, and it can be very enjoyable. It also is probably the most important biology course you'll take. This and 182, if you take both of them, are equally important because they're equally fundamental. It's a sequence that you take on the fundamentals of biology, the basics. Now, basic does not at all mean easy. Basic simply means it's all the important stuff on which everything else is built. So the stuff that you're introduced to in this course, you're going to learn over and over, and you're going to learn it better by relearning it in other courses. But to do well in those other courses, you need to actually learn this stuff, not just seek a grade and get through this. This is for the rest of your educational career in biology and then career afterwards to actually know biology. All right, so get the most out of it. It would be nice to be able to go through it twice because you learn it very well. This is true for just about any course, but I know students would be against this because it would take twice as long to graduate. But the vast majority of students really forget almost everything that they learn in a course. Now, for instance, this is biology at the cellular level. 182 is bigger than the cell. We're going to stay within the cell in this course. And I teach another course called Cell Biology, which is a 300-level course that really is almost identical to this course, just a little bit more detail. This stuff is so important that you have an opportunity to learn it again if you take that course and get credit again. And I know that helps people because when I teach cell biology, I will say, do you remember this stuff from 181? And for the vast majority of people, no, they don't remember it. And I'm not saying that because it's anyone's fault. That just happens in any course. You're bombarded with information. Some of it sticks. Well, that's why you'll relearn it in each of the succeeding courses after this. But this is where you get it as a fundamental course, and that's why it's so important. Okay, now, a lot of these things have to do with the laboratory, and so I'll talk about those when we actually get to the lab, which I guess is Thursday, right? Thursday, is it right after this?
It's 15 minutes after.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I'm glad you said that because don't let me keep talking over time. I do that sometimes, forgetting to look at the clock. Don't hesitate to say, hey, you're done, or just get up and leave. That's fine. By the way, just also don't ever hesitate to interrupt me. You don't have to raise your hand if you have a question. Just yell, and I'll stop talking. But anyway, I'll talk about these things that are laboratory-based, more so in the lab, just to save some more time for the true lecture today. Punctual attendance I already mentioned, so the rest. The Connect homework is kind of a batch of points unto itself. It's not really laboratory-based. It's not lecture-based. It's kind of both. It is a comparatively easy batch of points, though, and this is a really important point. The lecture examinations, I already told you, are the hardest things to do well at, but they affect your score the most. Because of that, you need to be sure not to waste any of the comparatively easy points. A perfect way of doing that is to show up 1 minute late. You've ruined a batch of attendance points that way, which are by far the easiest points to get. But the Connect points are comparatively easy as well, not as easy as just showing up. But they're all open book work. The answers can be found in the e-text, which is the major reason you should use that e-text. You know, when you're doing the Connect homework, if there's anything that you're unsure of before you submit the answer, do a search of the e-text, and it will take you right to the place in the text where the answer is. Now, it takes some time to do that beyond just saying, yeah, I think I'm right. You can probably get through it in fewer minutes if you don't check your answers, but it's worth putting in that time because you can maximize the number of potentially easy points. Okay? Don't waste anything in this course because it is true, just believe me, that many of you will be wishing there were a source of additional points. And by the way, I can answer that question right now. No, there isn't any extra credit. The credit is the course itself. You have to show me that you get through the minimum. That minimum, by the way, shown in the next section, is a little bit different for me. Now, that attrition rate, that 50% of the people not making it through, that's not just me. It's not something I'm doing. That's for any instructor teaching this course. It's just the course is demanding. But I do know that compared to other instructors, I give a little bit more detail, maybe even in some cases a lot more detail, when I teach than other instructors. And some of you will benefit from that. Some of you, that might drive you nuts, because no instructor is perfect for everyone. But anyway, I realize that probably getting through my exams is a bit more difficult than most instructors, than the other instructors. So, instead of doing what the other instructors do, which is a straight 90, 80, 70 grade scale, I drop the floor on A's, B's, and C's. Meaning that you'll get an A if you get 86 or better rather than 90 or better. And I intentionally didn't say only an 86 because that makes it seem like it's easy to get an 86. Getting the 86 in here will definitely be harder than getting a 90 in most courses. And you might hear this by other instructors, I don't know, but does everyone say that? Does everyone say this is a difficult course when they teach it? Well, you should believe me. I can show you the data. Anyway, the 86 is kind of your target right now because everyone would like an A, of course, and I hope everyone gets one, but it's never come close to happening. By about the mid-term, that low part where I was saying that test 3 happens, a lot of you are going to be resetting your sights on 66 and hoping that you get it. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with a C. I mean, getting through this course is an accomplishment, even with a C. But that reminds me to talk just a little bit about what are called summary and forecast numbers on Canvas. These are already on Canvas. You might have read about them already, and you should definitely read about them by clicking on the summary and forecast link on Canvas. But I want to explain them because they confuse a lot of people. And they confuse people I think, because naturally students want numbers to be as high as possible if they're scores. And that's true for your total current score. You want that to be 100. You want it to be as high, close to 100 as possible. This, what you're used to thinking for scores. But of the seven, I think there are seven categories of numbers that are in these summary and forecast numbers. Three of them are minimum required for blah, blah, blah. There's a minimum required for a B, a C, and an A. And what that means is the minimum required on all of the stuff that you have not yet done, the remaining stuff in the term, which right now is everything, but it's based on what you have not yet done, have not yet had graded. Well, people want these, they get it in their mind that they want those numbers to be high, but it's actually just the opposite. Those are minimum numbers that you have to get over in order to achieve that grade, right? So you want that to be as low as possible, so you can easily attain the C, the B, or the A. And those numbers will be recalculated every time you get something graded, so they will go either up or down depending on whether you hit that mark. Right now, your minimum required, if you look at Canvas, your minimum required for a C will be 66, because that's what the syllabus says, right? Everything is left still. Now, if you do your first graded assignment and you get a 68, slightly higher than 66, then the new calculated minimum required for a C will be very slightly below 66, because you beat the mark. And if you go way over it, it'll go down even farther. It'll keep going down as long as you keep beating that score, right? And those of you who do very well in this course will eventually see your minimum required for a C get to zero and below. It'll be a negative number, which means mathematically that you are already guaranteed a C. You could just give up. Take zeros for everything else and you'd get a C. That's what that means, right? The problem, though, and the more usual thing to happen, is that a person's total current score, which is what they've been graded on, everything so far, will be lower than the minimum required for a C. You don't want to get into that situation. This is why you should keep an eye on all of these forecast numbers and compare your total current score to the minimum required for your goal grade, either C, B, or A. Because if your total current score is at all below, but especially well below, the minimum required for a C, that means if you don't make any change, you're not going to pass. Because if you don't make any change, your final score is likely going to be very close to your total current score, right? That's what that would mean. If there is a difference between minimum required for a C and a total current score, then the only way to get through the course is to make a change, which almost always boils down to spending even more time on this course than you have so far. And that's where the high withdrawal rate comes in. Because I don't think that people are just slacking off. People are working hard, trying to do what their best in this course, and just not making it. And that's simply because there aren't enough hours to do everything that people are trying to do nowadays. In my generation, it was a person's job after high school to be a student. That's really all you had as a responsibility. Didn't have to have a job. You were there to learn. Those days are long gone. They're not going to come back. So I realized that there's other important things in people's lives, like spouses, kids, jobs, whatnot. Something has to give. I understand that some things in your life you can't allow to give at all. Well, that means the course has to give. And unfortunately, many people who take this course are just too busy to do it right now. That's why there's such a high withdrawal rate. Not that people can't get through this course if they had the time to do it. They just don't have the time to do it. And it takes a lot of time because the time you spend in here is just a minority of the time you have to spend. Now that's true, like this sign says, for any given course. But specifically in this course, to do well on the lecture exams, which is what you really have to do since they are worth so much, you have to prepare yourself to do well on those lecture exams by properly studying for them. By that I mean studying the recordings, studying your notes more specifically that you make based on the recordings I give you. Now, the e-text I talked about, you should not think of as the primary source of information to study for exams. You don't even have to crack a textbook to do well in this course. I've had plenty of people just never even look at a textbook and get an A. And that's because 100% of the material that is in the questions that I write for my lecture exams comes from the things I tell you on the recordings. If I don't say it on a recording, I can guarantee you that it's not going to be on the test. All right? So since you know that, it would be foolish to look anywhere else than the recordings to prepare yourself for the exams. That's where the answers are, in the recordings. All right? Well, that takes time. You're here for the live performance. That happens in real time, obviously. That's a 75-minute batch each time of each meeting, batch of time. But that's not enough. You're not going to be able to take sufficient notes the first time. Even if you could, it probably wouldn't be a good thing to try to do that, because you would, in order to do that, you would sacrifice listening to me as closely as you should be during the live performance. So yes, you should be taking notes when I'm lecturing, but you should not consider those to be your final version of notes to study for the exam. That's what the recordings are for. And the Hoffman site has a link for current term lecture recordings. That's where you'll find the recordings that I make, like today and every time that we're here, to you. Those will be a repeat of what you heard while you're in here if you use those. But notice right above that there are online lectures and slideshows that are already up there for the entire term's worth of material. And those are recordings from a previous term. So I'll say things slightly differently in those, because I never, you know, this isn't a memorized speech that I have for lectures. I just speak. But anyway, these things are probably the most valuable source of information for studying for exams, specifically the SSS links, which are the synchronized slideshows. Because you have the audio and the slides together. If you can fast forward to a certain slide that you know you're having difficulty with, and the audio will already be in place for you. You don't have to try to synchronize them yourself. Well, watching those and listening to them takes at least as much time as being here for the live performance. It should take longer, because if it takes exactly the same amount of time, that means you're never stopping the recording. But you should be stopping the recording in places to really refine your notes for that slide. Make a very good version of the notes based on what I tell you in the recordings, and then study the hell out of those notes instead of trying to find the information in a textbook. Now, if a textbook helps solidify the concepts, go ahead and use it. But definitely don't skip studying the recordings. And once is not enough. This is not the only thing you have to do to prepare for this course either, by the way. But multiple listenings of each of these recordings really cuts deeply into the week, because it takes time to do that. But the payoff is that you can pass the course. And that's where I was saying before, that some people just seriously don't have that much time, and they probably won't make it through the course. If you're interested in getting through, though, and you have the time to dedicate, that's how you do it. Okay? Any questions about anything so far? I think that that might be well, yeah, the rest of it you can read on your own. Nothing? No questions at all? Yeah.
So we have to sign in to two websites?
Three.
Besides Canvas?
Besides Canvas 2, yes. With Canvas 3. Anything else? All right, well, let's proceed to the science part of the show.